It's the ultimate business trip, flying in Emirates First Class. With your own fully enclosed private suite, you can order from an extensive international menu along with premium drinks. There's even a bar and an exclusive shower spa on the Emirates A380. Along with chauffeur-driven airport transfers and the Emirates Lounge, it's a better way to do business. Book now on Emirates.com.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
So today for this week's industry review, we're talking about the business and future of graphic design, exploring how bands are built, how creative decisions get made, and what separates good design from design that actually works. And I'm really delighted to have in studio three graphic designers. I've got Brian Nolan. He's the founding partner of Detail. Sinead Lawler, a.k.a. Designer G, is a freelance graphic designer. You're very welcome, Sinead. And Keith McGuinness is the creative director at Red & Grey. You're welcome as well, Keith. So
thanks, Billy.
Thank you for coming in. This is a business that really interests me. So we might start with you, Brian. Tell us a little bit about Detail, what you do and how it all works.
So Detail, we set up in 2004. Myself and my business partner, Paul McBride, were working in other agencies. There was a time of change in the industry. We're entering into more cyclical change as we go through it. And we decided to set up the business just to figure out what was next, to allow ourselves to have some flexibility in what we do and maybe carve a pathway into design as it was evolving. And I suppose what we do now is really a broad range, similar to lots of small businesses in the design industry. Within Ireland, you really do have to have a kind of expanded skill set. So we work in brand strategy, so the thinking behind it all, brand identity, everything that's involved in producing visual identity and design, and then brand environment, so everywhere you experience it. So not just a physical space, but maybe it's on a device that you're using as well. So
okay.
It really is much broader than people imagine. We often have conversations about the surface level of what you see, but it's kind of the deeper side of it is where we've evolved over time.
So effectively, you know, if we call a brand a personality, it's your job to show that personality in whatever form it may exist.
That's completely it. And sometimes it's often a struggle to explain that to people because the value isn't what you see on the surface. It really is about the positioning and the personality and everything that. So that could be an individual. It could be a large organization. We work with large global brands. It could be a cultural institution.
Okay.
It could be a government department. So where it all fits together, what we do is kind of make those connections and tell that story.
Okay, stay with us, Brian. Sure. I want to introduce you to Sinead Lawler, a.k.a. Designer G. Sinead, you're very welcome to the program.
Thank you.
You're a freelance graphic designer.
Correct.
And again, tell us a little bit about you and your world.
So I suppose I started off in the industry maybe about 26 years ago, just as a baby graphic designer. I kind of moved through the ranks to a more senior role. And then I kind of branched out. I found graphic design kind of only had a certain limit for me within a design agency. So I kind of looked around and went in-house with an estate agency and then shortly thereafter got married and had children. And that changed the landscape for me. It meant that I needed more flexibility in my life. And I decided to go freelance. And I have never looked back. That's just the way it is. That's what I want to do.
So, and I presume in this business, like many businesses, word of mouth and work you've done gets you the next job.
So that's it. Exactly, yeah. Bobby. My reputation is number one. And I'm constantly referred by my clients, which is fantastic.
Yeah. It's the greatest endorsement one can have.
It is. But, you know, I work hard at it too. Staying on top of what's going on, keeping an eye on the competition and what's happening in the design landscape. All of that's very important. And I am solo, so I don't have that chance to bounce off other designers, which I think the lads do. And I think that's great. Even having 5 minutes outside talking to them is important. You know?
Some of the great relationships have formed here on Down to Business, where people come in here as competitors and they leave as friends.
Not at all.
Keith McGuinness, you're with you're the creative director at Red & Grey. Tell us a little bit about you and your world.
So from the age of five, my primary school teacher said to me, "You're going to go to NCAD." I ended up going there, studying visual communications. I made some great friends there. I worked in Ireland. Then I worked in the States as a freelance designer. I worked on Wall Street as a designer for blue chip and Fortune 500 companies. I worked at the Rockefeller Center working on rebranding American Express. I've also worked on packaging for Jennifer Lopez for our perfume. So I've had a great, great experience. And with Red and Grey, we formed it. It was college friends again, setting up a business. We're 23 years in business. We're based in Lennox Street in Portobello. We are a creative design and branding agency. And the basis of what we do, we offer creative ideas that work. So similar to what Brian was saying, we offer branding, design, campaigns, and anything that's on screen. Some of our clients are IBEC, Trinity College, RTE, and we also work with clients outside Ireland. So that would be, we've worked with MIT, we've worked with the G7 and Oxford University.
Wow, good man.
So
tell me about your six-word story.
Six words.
So how does that work?
So six-word story is we would find out what the essence of a brand essence of a client is. What is the purpose? What is their why? What we try to distill that into is two words on their why, two words on their what they do, and two words on how they do it. And that's a six word story.
And does that give you a kind of a guidance to go?
It's like at the moment when you speak to a client, we review where they are at the moment and where they want to be in the future. And with that story helps us evolve the identity or the branding from there. An example of that was like we work with Folger Ireland on the Wild Atlantic Way. And that story, that was based on people, places and stories. We're really proud of that project because it brings in about 3 billion each year to the Irish tourism sector. And it started off as doodles on a notebook in the office and now is involved into a branding across the whole west of Ireland. And we're seeing American tourists get tattoos with our logo on it. So that's cool.
Good job. Yeah, great job. Brian, tell me about the frustration that happens in your business when some fella comes in and says, look, I just want a logo. I don't want any of the other stuff.
Yeah,
because I'm sure that happens.
It happens all the time. It's kind of what I was hinting at earlier, that the understanding of where the value is.
So do you tell them, sorry, you go to somebody else?
We try not to. We try and explain our perspective. And often we would be approached with a particular brief and somebody has quite a definitive idea of what they want. Maybe it's something that their competitor is doing. And I think our approach would be to kind of push back on that and try and investigate further what really their problem might be and what might solve that. So, it definitely happens. I think what's happened in recent years, just because of how technology has evolved, how the pace of what we do has changed, we often struggle to explain the value and the investment in design and what it means for your business.
Yeah.
People understand very quickly would realize the kind of negative value when something goes wrong. But the positive value when you're working on your brand, almost consistently, it's another part of the conversation that our projects don't really end now because of the way everybody is integrated in technology. It's an ongoing process and it's an investment. And when people get to that stage, I think they have a much better understanding of why they need to focus on it in a different way.
Is one of your challenges as well that you're in a kind of a subjective business? Has a view on a logo.
Yeah.
Everybody has a view on a brand image. I hate that.
It's a constant thing, Bobby. And
it's like being a chef. You know, people like your food or they hate it. And you don't know
why.
It's
a very similar thing because in the service industry, and we kind of are in that, there are subjective decisions that we have to kind of skirt around. Sometimes we wish we were an engineer and could say we need the middle bit of the bridge because it's just not going to work. But there are deep fundamentals to what we do. And, if they aren't followed and if the strategy isn't robust, it will fall apart quite quickly. And the same sort of damage from a business perspective can easily happen. So what we're finding, though, and I think it's worth pointing out, is that perspective of I want a logo and I'll tell you what I like when I see it has kind of changed because I think there is a much deeper understanding of the relevance of how we behave as an organization, not just what we look like. So we're much more involved now in internal design, inside companies, building ideas around culture.
Well, I assume the more you know about a company and the more you understand a company or its product, you know, the better job you're going to be able to do, surely.
The design industry is in a quite a unique position where we get to work with so many other businesses. It's very seldom that you get to be on the inside of very, very diverse ranges of clients. And the experience of that is what we're bringing to every single project. So, you know, that from a value perspective is really useful for us to be able to make business recommendations as well as visual ones.
Sinead, when we talk about, you know, fashions come and go, longevity of, I suppose, corporate images or packaging, you know, how do you make sure that something doesn't date too quickly? Or what creatively, how do you address issues like that?
Packaging is pretty much a lot of what I do. And packaging is always going to go through cycles. So, you know, if you have a client who wants something to be up to date and looking now and wow, then, you know, we try and endeavour to sort of produce that. But, you know, fonts, colours, everything changes. Every year there's going to be a change. And it's up to us as the designers to interpret what the client wants, to see in the brief if they want longevity or if they want now and wow. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's up to us to kind of distill that.
Is there also the balance of, if I have a brand, it's done well in the marketplace, people know it and love it, I have to be careful about tweaking with it or messing with it too much. In other words, there's a value in what I have versus the value of a new look.
Yeah,
that's a debate, I'm sure. You often have.
Absolutely. And you don't have to have a complete rebrand. You can have a brand refresh, which is just a slight tweak here and there, which will bring it up to more up to date. And you've seen that before. Off the top of my head, I'm thinking Aer Lingus, Pepsi, News Talk. You know, it hasn't completely changed. It's still there.
Yeah.
Brand proposition still exists. But the look is slightly different and reflective of what you're looking for.
No, that's really interesting. When Keith, you're looking at brand guidelines and all that, is that something that, like, I presume with something like the Wild Atlantic Way that you referenced there, there's a Bible that you're not allowed to mess with. Mm-hmm. In other words, this is the logo. This is the way it has to be on a sign. This is how it looks on a, you know, on a letterhead. Mm-hmm. And there's you part of your job is writing that Bible.
Yes. So, after you create the branding, you create a brand guide. From our experience, nobody likes rules. So what we do, you can write a 100-page brand guideline, but we think if you can get down to one page, it actually works better.
Yeah.
And for the Wild Atlantic Way, the reason it was a success is we simplified it down. That logo can be used on any color. The colors can be inspired by nature. It's flexible. It's adaptable. It can work on the size of a stamp. And it can work on the size of a massive sign.
Yeah.
So it's flexibility. It has to be adaptable to work in print, has to be adaptable to work on screen.
Well, so that's probably a testament to good design.
Yeah. It like, what's great about the logo for the Wild Atlantic Way is there's a few interpretations of it where it could be a WAW, which is the initials for Wild Atlantic Way. It could be a wave down the coast of Ireland. It could be mountains. It could be a tire track. And it's all for the public to interpret what it is.
Yeah.
And I think what you're trying to do is capture the essence of what the brand is and those kind of key bits like that. So
is one of your challenges then, Brian, to get your clients to try and think more strategically than sort of come in with a shopping list?
Completely. I think the positive is that there's a greater understanding of that, because if there isn't solid thinking and an important, like, well-mapped-out strategy behind everything you do, it falls apart. And Sinead, we were talking about trends there, and they do come and go. You'd adopt them when it fits with a particular strategy. So getting a point of focus, like the guidelines, or we would probably call it a toolkit, where it feels like they're important assets of your brand, you need a strategic focus to reference all the time. It's very easy to get off track, and the investment you're making, the equity you've put into that brand can diminish if subjectivity comes into it. So the strategic focus, getting that down to a very short narrative that people understand, is really important. One of the things that happens in larger organizations is they invest a lot in strategy. It's part of their growth. It's part of what they're trying to do to move on to the next stage. But actually, the implementation of that strategy is where the weak link can often
be.
So if it's just a set of guides, it's getting people on board, changing the culture within an organization, change management is part of what we get involved in. So, you know, it's actually digging much, much deeper below the surface of the pyramid.
Sinead, when we talk about AI in most industries, it's I'm sure you've had your own thoughts on it. This seems to be one, an industry that could be particularly vulnerable at a certain level. But at another level, when you think about it, you know, it might be a good thing for the industry.
Yeah, well, for me, I found it to be a positive. Now, I'll say that so far, it's been a positive because AI is it's an evolving landscape. It's changing all the time. And I'm not an AI expert. But in terms of the clients that I deal with, sometimes it helps them if they produce something and then we can kind of change that, make it better, work on it. A lot of people, a lot of clients are not visual creatures. So they need to be supported.
Somebody could come to you having used AI and looked at a whole lot of ideas and said, right, let's use this as our discussion basis.
Exactly. And I can say why it's not going to work. Which happens so often.
And is there also an AI thing where, you know, if you're seen using AI creatively, that it's almost a bad thing? In your defense.
Yeah. The thing with AI, it's a regurgitator. What it's doing is looking at the past and giving you that back. So the problem, like any successful brand wants you to be unique, have personality and soul. If you want your business to look like something that's already out there already, then use AI. But if you want something more, go to a professional.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. So very briefly, Brian,
sure.
The future of the business in about 30 seconds, if you would.
You were right in the crux of a big evolution, and AI is part of it. But I think one of the things that we're interested and focused on is the real, authentic human side of what we do and the service we provide, because I think that will come to the surface. I think it's the important part of connecting with people and engaging them with what you do from a visual point of view for brands and for individuals.
Okay, well, listen, you're three great ambassadors for your trade.
Thanks, Bobby.
Three graphic designers. Great to talk to them and great to understand their world. Brian Nolan, Sinead Lawler and Keith McGuinness, thanks so much for joining us.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.
It's the ultimate business trip. Flying in Emirates First Class. With your own fully enclosed private suite, you can order from an extensive international menu along with premium drinks. There's even a bar and an exclusive shower spa on the Emirates A380. Along with chauffeur-driven airport transfers and the Emirates Lounge, it's a better way to do business. Book now on Emirates.com.